welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast, Real Beers, Real Breweries, Real Opinions, sponsored by This Week in Craft.beer. Sign up to the free weekly newsletter, get all the craft beer news from your favourite breweries and that all-important new beers list as well. This Week in Craft.beer. And we're powered by Patreon. Head to patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. Show your support for the podcast and you can get access to exclusive content. patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. Another episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast. Real beers, real breweries, real opinions. Make sure and head over to all social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Search Beer Fridge Podcast, like, follow, and share. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it be Spotify or iTunes or any other platform, if you have not followed, what are you doing? Push that subscribe button and make sure you've been notified of all the latest episodes. Button, what the fuck is that?
The bouton.
The bouton. We've got a French in there. As always, my name is Gavin.
I've got
my usual drinking partners, Callum, Scott and Mark. Good evening.
Hello, hello.
Bonjour.
Oui, oui.
Bonjour.
Ça va?
Tonight we're joined by Victoria and Ian from 71 Brewing. How are you doing, guys?
Hello.
Hello. I'm good.
Not from the continent.
I was going to say, how about that for a podcast introduction? Absolute mayhem. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm looking forward to kind of getting stuck in. And as always, thank you for sending the beers through. Very much appreciated. We usually start by kind of going around the table. So, Gav.
Don't go at me. I need to put my teeth back in.
Right. Okay.
He's there.
Right, Callum.
So I'm starting with Mandarina Sky Hazy IPA, 5%. And it's, yeah, the perfect beer to get started with, really. It's a sort of East Coast style, as it says on the can. And it's just sort of uncomplicated Hazy IPA. It's, you know, bagsy tropical flavours. A bit of bitterness, but not too much. And it's, yeah, nice and chilled for the fridge and going down really well. Yeah, it's super smooth and yeah, I've had it before a couple of times and it always hits the mark really well. So yeah, thoroughly enjoying it and not to give too much away, but I'm excited that it's going to be upgrading in size, shall we say. So yeah, it's a lovely wee drop to get started with.
I'll just jump in because I'm on the same. So I totally agree, kind of tropical. It's got a really nice body. It's smooth, but it kind of coats your tongue nicely. You got a wee bit of citrus, or I'm getting a little bit of citrus, and it is super sessionable. It is 5%, so it's low to my sessionable standards, of course, but it is still deemed as sessionable. It has a really good head retention, which is something that I haven't mentioned, but I kind of noticed it in this really funky, nice 71 Brewing glass there. And it's
that glass, that's a cracking new glass, isn't it?
It's good, and it's holding head really, really well. So, like Callum said, it's a really cracking beer to kick off.
I've just downed the last wee sip of it, and you get a nice little pininess off it as well, which I really enjoy. That's kind of slight bitterness. This is one I could easily and happily just kind of sit in the sun and just drink 4 or 5 cans and be quite happy with myself.
I would agree with that. I would agree.
Gilroy?
So I've got... the Cloudfall.
Frog in your throat.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about saying that the Mark talking about head retention is a bit of a laugh, is it not?
Oh, come on. Another joke, seriously.
Well played.
Yeah. Lockdown's been difficult for Mark.
not the only thing that's been lost to coronavirus is the joke.
That's true. Yeah. But we love you all the same. Just a bit. So I'm on the Cloudfall. So this is 4.5% American Pale Ale. It's got an incredible hop bill. So Chinook, Citra, Amarillo, and Motueka. So some New Zealand numbers in there, which means you get that kind of bit of tropical flavour on the back end, which kind of sweetens it up as it kind of zips towards the end. It's a good body to it. It's a lovely mouthfeel. it's not going to, it's one that you're going to be able to sit and sip away at. Hopefully when things open back up again, this is a kind of, give me that first beer and go for there. It's lovely. I've just pulled it out of the fridge. It's absolutely superb. Great colour. A lovely kind of slightly darker golden colour. It's perfect to kind of start off with. It's a good, it's, you get 2/3 or a pint of this, or if you're lucky enough to get a can straight out of the fridge as I have, it'll not last long, and neither will this.
Correct. Agree with all those sentiments. Ian, yourself, you're sitting in the brewery, are you having a wee brisky?
I have a wee brisket as soon as I step in the door of the brewery. This is my hangover kicking in now. I'm actually, yeah, Mandarina Sky is one of my favourites, but as a party beer, I'll usually get myself a few for the weekend, sit outside in the garden, drink some. But in terms of like nighttime beers, Cloudfall, absolute favourite of mine's. Sinking back on this just now, it is like this on pint is just something else, but it's just like a, it's just a proper beer. Nice. Like a proper American pale ale, instead of like something super hazy or something super zesty, this is just like perfectly balanced for somebody that wants something fruity, tropical, but somebody that wants something bitter. For me, it's just a great all-rounder. It's a go-to beer for me. Like,
yeah, it's cracking. It's well balanced. A lovely beer. I've, like I said, I'm just opening one and enjoying it myself. Victoria, yourself, what are you sampling?
Yeah, I'm just on the Cloudfall 2. Was just on the, it was just on Mandarina there, which, like you say, totally agree with you. It's a great, a hazy IPA. It's I think the bitterness in it is really quite nice, and then really citrusy fruit as well, which, yeah, big fan of that. But yeah, I'm on the Cloudfall right now as well. And like Ian's saying, it's really nice to kind of go back to, I'm like a total like West Coaster, like IPA, like at heart, you know, that's like what I go to like all the time. It's like, you know, that's old school, life begins at 1060, you know, so, so yeah, I think Cloudfall is like totally amazing. And like you were saying there before, these boys will be getting like a wee bit of a facelift shortly. So they will be going into 440s and be getting a little bit of a rework on their label as well. So I think people have just been shouting out for the 440s. It's like it's kind of, it's become the standard, hasn't it? And yeah, like you guys are saying, when I think even now more so like over lockdown, you're sitting in your garden, you don't want to be getting up all the time, you know, the 440 kind of works, but if you want to split it, it's a good size as well. So
yeah,
no,
you never split a 440, you just buy two.
I think particularly for the sessionable beers, the 440 just makes absolute sense. Like I think I'm kind of in the same camp as Mark when it comes to like a sour or maybe an imperial stout or something like that. Sometimes a 440 can be a bit too much. So 330s maybe beer I would like that kind of stealthy beer to go. But these beers, the sessionable pale ales, American pale ales, these kinds of things, they're just crying out for 440s. Definitely. Nice wee six pack in the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sounds delightful. How did we do describing your beers? Did we murder it, or were we all right?
Perfect. Really, really good. Yeah, really good, guys. Like you say, like I think the hops are at the front of everything that that we've been doing for the last wee while. You know, even our lagers kind of concentrate like really on the hops as well. So these guys just like really let it fly, let it shine. So yeah, nice. That was good.
Just that opportunity for kind of blow a run trumpet a wee bit, that was all. So obviously Sound On Brewing.
Well done, you can smell.
Yes.
well done, you can taste and smell things.
Your nose works.
It's a classic hop combo as well. It's going to work, do you know what I mean? Always just to make the Amarillo and Motueka. Mosaic.
Mm-hmm. Excellent combo. Like I said, 71 Brewing, based in Dundee. We've got Ian and Victoria joining us this evening. I don't know who wants to take this question, but a short, brief kind of history of 71 and how it came to be.
Well, I just joined 71 actually not that long ago. So I joined in December. So it was a really, really fun time to join actually, like quite a strange time to join. But 71 I've always like been on my radar. Like I've kind of like worked in beer within Scotland and internationally for the past like 10 years now. So 71 started back in, correct me if I'm wrong or anything, Ian, or if you want to jump in, but yeah, they started back in 2016. So It was Duncan Alexander co-founded it. He's like still the managing director today. I think he'd been traveling around, and it was that kind of time when craft beer was like exploding everywhere. And his thing had always been lagers. It was a style that he kind of thought, I think, was, you know, quite underrepresented, wanted to kind of give it another shot. So that's where 71 Lager was born. And the name 71 comes from, like, I was describing the building earlier. So, like, we're situated in this, like, amazing, like, old ironworks right in the centre of Blackness, which is, like, the old kind of industrial heart of Dundee. And so it's the old ironworks, it's the old HQ, and which was number 71. So that's where 71 Brewing comes from. And 71 Pilsner, that's the flagship Pilsner, which is just purely hopped with sats. So really lovely kind of spicy noble hop character coming through there.
Cracking.
Ian, anything?
What was the question?
No, don't worry.
This is so good.
Just crack it, just buy the beer. But yeah, so like you said, the beer for you guys is kind of widely available. We obviously in supermarkets and through the websites, through good bottle shops and stuff as well. You've got a new sour kind of range coming out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Russian seasonal sour.
The reason I'm bringing it up, because I just seen Marky Boy, our resident sour lover, has opened it.
Nice one.
tell us.
What do you think of this one then? Can you give us your rundown first?
I'm on the strawberry crush. So as you say, the seasonal sour, 7.4%. I've got to admit, like, sours are a tough pill for me. And a 440 sour, is like Callum mentioned before, is almost impossible for me to kind of get through. So I've split this with a wife to kind of make it a little bit more manageable for me. So like the boys have always take the piss for that fact. But anyway, on the nose, it's strawberry, and oh wait, it's strawberry. It smells unbelievable. It really does. First tastes, get that kind of like tingle of the tartness that you would expect from a sour. It isn't overly like sour, so and it's because of the strawberries being super sweet, it is really balanced in that sense. So it is really, really pleasant, I've got to admit. It's something that when I seen it and I was thinking, this is, here I go, I'm going to have to try and bullshit my way around this a little bit. But I always like to say I'm quite upfront about it, because I never pick them up off a shelf at all, and I appreciate how difficult they are to make and to get flavour correctly done on them. And this has been done really, really well in my opinion, because it is fruit forward. It's not sour for the sake of it being sour. It's sour because it's packed full of fruit. And it is really sweet in that sense. I've probably, like you say, you can see how much I've got in the glass. I've probably got a third, to be fair. And I'm going to mention this again because it's definitely the way I want sours to be brewed and packaged moving forward. I want a sour to be packaged in an espresso size cup.
Mini cans. They're going to come. They're coming back this year. They're coming back.
See,
our production manager won't let us go anywhere near them, but I'm all into mini cans.
Mom wants a wee palate cleansing kind of sorbet.
Palate cleanser for me, it's like a sorbet. It's an in-between beer. It's something that you get a little sip of that just refreshes the palate, and then you go hit a big dirty deeper. You know what I mean? That's the way I think about a sour. But for not being a sour drinker or a fan, put it that way, of the style, it is palatable for me. So I think that's an absolute win on your part. So cheers. So tell us a little bit about the range then, since I've butchered it.
thanks very much. It was actually like a really good description of it. It's our kind of our base sour beer. So We have like a lactosac blend there. So like you say, you do get that kind of nice sourness to it. And then we age it over shitloads of locally sourced fruits. So this one is the strawberry crush. So there's like a couple of different varieties of strawberries in there. So you do get a couple of different flavors, but like you say, really jammy. There's a little bit of honey in there as well. And you've got that kind of sweetness. And it is, like you're saying, it's a wee amuse-bouche, isn't it? It just totally cleanses the palate and you get that lovely little zing all the way across your tongue.
You know what it's reminding me a bit of? It's like...
strawberry laces.
No, actually.
Definitely.
I can't remember the last time I had strawberry laces, so maybe that's the issue there. But it's like a, I want to say like a sherbet or something. It's like a,
yeah,
like it's proper, it's sweet, but tart. And like it's like one of those, like, I'm thinking like an the astrobel. Lemon sherbets that you get.
It is astrobels, yeah.
I was just about to say astrobels, Scott.
Yeah, totally.
That's what it's like. It sort of hits your tongue and you go, oh, it's sweet. And then it goes, oh, it's tart.
Yeah. It's really, really lovely. It's like, Ian, what would you say has been selling better, the blueberry or the strawberry?
As upsetting as it is, because I absolutely love the blueberry, it's the strawberry.
Oh, really? See, I really like, I've kind of like, when we're like kind of looking at it, I'm always thinking it's strawberry, strawberry, strawberry. But then the blueberry, like everybody really loves the blueberry as well, though, don't they? It's like...
They're almost balanced because most people buy them at the same time.
Yeah. But
in terms of like on trade sales, strawberry, mm-hmm. people always ask for strawberry. I think it's because it's a lot of people, like Mark was saying there, it's like he's sharing it. It's with it being so strong on strawberries, it's a shareable beer. Because even if you're not into beers, the amount of strawberries that are in it, if you like fruit, you'll like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So does that count as one of my five a day?
Yes, more than two a day. So alongside this one at the minute, like I was saying, we released the blueberry, which is it's the blueberry flavor really, really comes through. Yeah, there you go. There it's there. So have you tried that one yet?
No.
You could do a wee side by side. The blueberry is really, really lovely. And at first when I tried the strawberry, I was like, oh, nothing's gonna beat it. But the blueberry is really great as well. But we're working on the next two, which they'll probably out at the end of this month actually. So they're gonna be quite exciting. So we're always gonna try and do like double drops of them, like if we can. So we always kind of like working on two at a time. So the first one is gonna be a kind of like dark forest fruit. So it's all like locally sourced black currants. Blackberries and raspberries, so kind of think like it's really like dark berry sorbet kind of flavors. There's a kind of little bit of like vanilla running through it as well, so that's really going to be exciting. Nice and kind of jammy, but still that kind of mega fruity way. And then the other one, which is quite exciting, which we've kind of like gone a bit further afield, we've got some Scottish rhubarb in there. Some
can you say rhubarb too?
Yeah, so it's the season. Yeah, you've seen it pop up everywhere. So rhubarb, some Taroko blood orange, and like a wee bit of lime in there too. So it's like that one's our rhubarb punch. So
how are you guys coming up with these recipes? I mean, obviously it's things you've obviously worked on and tried out, I'm assuming, in smaller kits, but I mean, where did the inspiration start for these?
I think like anywhere, it's kind of thinking of like good combinations, but foremost we're looking to see what fruit we have available, and if we can source it locally, we'll source it locally, like what we've got, and then get whatever we can to kind of like to top it up with. So like we're saying, we've got some blood orange there and we've got some lime. And then I think the inspiration can really come from I guess a lot of desserts, a lot of cocktail recipes as well. That's like something that you'll see coming through a little bit more in some of the ideas for the future. They're kind of like little tweaks of cocktails. So yeah, I think that's kind of where it comes from. And then it's always just trying it out, you know. Like we say, we've got our little pilot kit that we kind of work on quite a lot, and we knock things up on that. And then just once we've brewed the base beer, we get a whole bunch of fruit and we trial out and we see what's working. So Just lots of really, really super heavy fruit additions to get all those flavors coming out. So it's really they're a really fun series to work on. It's kind of really let us like explore like our creative side. So it's been really good fun.
What's been the I don't want to say daftest. We'll say daftest. What's been the stupidest, craziest idea that we've put on that pilot kit and you thought, you know what, this is going to be horrendous and you've tried it, or vice versa, the other way around, and you thought, oh my God.
Well,
Ian's giggling away. There's something. There's a story there.
What about Pam Swanee that didn't quite make it?
I don't even know if I should say all this. Some of the staff, me and two other staff members, made a beer with chilies in it and decided to put the hottest chilies in the world in it. And it's a rum, what is it? It's we put the chilies into overproof rum so we could put the overproof rum full of chilies into the beer. But the kind of base spirit is so ridiculously hot that as soon as we even put like a teardrop on our mouth, we just run about in agony. And then one of the staff members decided to see if it worked. He had chicken wings the night before, and he was like, I think it'd be good if we make this like a sweet chili chicken wing beer. So we tried that with not the full set, but just dosing a small amount of it. And it was one of the worst things I've ever drunk in my life. And he was like, you seen him like swallowing really hard, being like, yeah, I think this is fine. I was like, we can't put this out into the world. There's no way we can do this out. This is such a stupid idea. So unfortunately, he doesn't work here anymore.
Two unrelated incidents, surely.
And the chili beer, we're probably going to can tomorrow to see what that's like, see if it's any good. Yeah.
When did you put the chilies in? Like, is it through, like, fermentation?
We should have put the chilies in for 3 to 6 days, but unfortunately, it came to every Friday, and we're like, oh, man, we've still not canned that beer yet. I've still not canned that beer yet. So the chilies have been in there for, like, a month and a half. There's barely any liquid left in the jars now. It's just, like, the chilies just got bigger.
Nice.
It's going to be nuts. I'll send you some samples. We're not going to sell it to the general public. It'll just be like a fun beer for the staff. But
because you've made pepper spray with alcohol for people to drink.
It's insane. It's like I said it was kind of like when Doctor Who regenerates. That's the feeling you get when you take a sip of this chili rum. So when it goes near the beer, it's just going to upset a lot of people. So I think it's better we keep it off the shelves.
Amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's the least. Callum, you've sampled the Strawberry Crush. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's great. I think Mark hit the nail on the head with the comment about it being not being sour for sour's sake. I think a lot of breweries go down the sort of kettle and about the beer's kind of an afterthought behind the tartness. I think that a lot of times the goal, the object is to, our favourite phrase is to sort of draw your jaws together, and that seems to be the object of the exercise, is to create this, and the flavour's kind of on the back burner a little bit. But this, you can tell this is, it's so fruit forward, and you're getting so much of the fruit flavour. It's just and the sourness is kind of there to balance out the sweetness. It would be
He's going for it.
Yeah. There it goes. Yeah. I think if the beer wasn't as tart as it is, I think it would the sweetness would kind of overpower and overtake the flavour. The sourness comes in right at the last moment, at the right time. It's a lovely drink, and it's, I'm going back to it again and again, and for once 4.40 is probably just the right amount for me.
Oh, that's great.
There you go, son. There you go. Gilroy, what you on?
I've moved on deeper wise, but I'm wanting to stick. I'm sticking on sours at the moment because I would like to have and I'm wondering if this is a gimmick worth having. So Omnipolo, and I was at friends and family last time, when people were still allowed to meet up. Omnipolar were doing a thing where they had a slush machine. So they were selling the two beers. So when can I get an ice blast version of the two sours? Strawberry and blueberry.
Like, Ian, stick it on the list for the beer garden, man. Definitely need a slushy machine. And wouldn't this beer be amazing with, like, with rum as well? It's like the perfect strawberry daiquiri, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I wonder if Linda's got any left that I could make a wee cocktail up.
Yeah, I'll try it, man. Like, it's so good with some, like, lovely, like, dark rum.
That's what today. Give the missus half the beer and then run back and try and get it back after. Well played. That's going to go down well.
Take a look at what you could have won.
Lynn's likes a daiquiri. I think I would be all right as long as I was able to share.
Gilroy, what are you on, mate?
Okay, so I have moved on. I am double IPA-ing to my heart's content, which I must say is content at the moment. So I'm on Rolling Coaster. It's a 7.4% double IPA. It's absolutely superb. Again, Motueka's in there. It's a hop triumvirate that's classic. But Motueka is my favourite, so I'm going to stick with that. Kiwi hop makes everything so kind of juicy and fruity. It's got bags of body in it. It's a lovely colour. It's got the proper haze that you're looking for. It packs a punch at 7.4, although the kind of the alcohol content's hidden pretty well, so it does feel like you're drinking a beer that's much, much lighter than that, which is exactly kind of what you're looking for. It's not overly hefty, although it does have the right body. It's a great double IPA. 7.4% makes it kind of, it's big enough. You could always go bigger, as Mark would say, but this is big enough to sit and have a couple of and be totally ridiculous. It's a good lockdown order, I would say, for somebody who likes this kind of beer. That's what, between that at 440s and double IPAs and triple IPAs and quads even at some point, the lockdown has seemed to kind of see people gravitate towards these and their kind of home delivery orders. And this is right up front with some of the other great double IPAs we've had this year so far.
No, I agree with you there, mate. I've just opened it myself. It's cracking, like I said, you get a lovely aroma, kind of juicy. The first thing I wrote down was kind of passion fruit there.
Total passion fruit in the nose, isn't it?
Like, exactly. First thing I've written down straight away, nice, light creaminess. The mouthfeel you expect from a double. And Marky Boy, you're sad you gave this one up. You gave this to the girl.
You should. Should be sad.
Very sad.
Stuck there enjoying two sours that I wouldn't mind having off either.
Trade.
There we go. Citra Mosaic Motueka. It's a classic, isn't it? But it's done really well.
It's done really well. Lovely and tropical fruitiness. Loving it.
7.4% is a bit on the low side for a double, though, is it not?
Yeah.
I nearly wanted to say sessionable double.
It's a hard one, isn't it? It's always the kind of like, is it just an IPA? Should we just start calling everything an IPA? But we wanted to kind of, because this is going to be in our like year round lineup, we wanted to distinguish it because it had that little like extra morbid volume. But I think you could say anything north of 7, kind of going into that double territory. But yeah, you're probably looking up towards 8 or something, aren't you? Really. Taking it back to that West Coast.
It's much of a muchness, Christ.
I know.
The beer's bloody good.
Mm-hmm. I love this beer. I'm so excited like that we released it. Like I'm saying, it's going to be like available like year round from us. And I think we've totally nailed it. It was really important for us, I think, to really crack that aroma as soon as you've opened it. And, you know, we went with it, like you're saying, you know, the classic combo. Mosaic's got a really great body to it as well, and we kind of like we tweaked like the bitterness, we made it just slightly little bit more bitter than, and I think it works really well, really great balance. It's mega happy with it.
All right, we'll get if we buy enough of it, Mark, we'll get the Rock and Roller Coaster, which will be the triple. We'll get the triple eventually.
That's it. Just
check us out with the good ideas tonight. What's happened to us?
It's because we bombed the other night trying to come up with wrestling names for
triple. That's what it was, wasn't it?
the pun gun's firing on all cylinders, trying to get someone back.
Because it was quite bad the other night.
We were absolutely brutal.
We were. We certainly were. Plans going forward for 2021? Have we got any beer gardens that are opening up? Where are people going to be able to sit and enjoy your beers in Dundee?
Oh, absolutely. On you go, Ian. Tell us all about the beer garden.
I think, well, for us, we did open a beer garden last year, about summertime, that we thought it's just going to be full of our kind of friends and families, but it just went absolutely nuts. It's like a 110 capacity beer garden, about the same size as our building, which is massive. And we're fully booked, fully packed out every single day and just turning people away. It was absolutely nuts.
A proper wee sun trap, isn't it?
Yeah, like the way the building's based as well, like this, the sun will be there from kind of 10, 11 o'clock right through till late evening. But yeah, it's fantastic, good setup. It was a chance as well for us to test out new products as well, get some stuff on tap that no one else had, or even having this pilot kit as well. I think for the beer garden opening up again in the next few weeks, we are going to have some of the pilot kit brews on there as well. So
it's awesome.
People will be able to try stuff that no one else can get their hands on. And we can get feedback from the general public and our friends to see if we actually make it into a massive deal or not. But yeah, I'm excited about that. And then
definitely most that's one thing that's kind of been lost over lockdown and stuff, and that all the tap has been shut. Like a brewery on a pilot kit being able to put a weird beer on tap and then just get immediate feedback. Like I think we've lost that. And it's gonna be good, and it'll be exciting to get it back.
That's like we did that in our old tap room as well, where if we were making a beer and we were gonna release it, say in August, we would have it as fresh as possible, straight off the lines. As soon as it was in a keg, we would walk it over to the bar 40 feet, stick it straight on. And like by that point, we hadn't even put in the till or named the price for it. And we were just handing out samples, like, what do you think? So there was a lot of people just raging in our tap room, being like, I can't untap this, it doesn't exist. And I was like, that's because it doesn't even have a name yet. Like, but it doesn't get released for another 2 weeks, we're fine. I think when bars open back up, there's going to be a couple of people demanding craft beer. I think when the last time pubs opened up, they did go for cheaper alternatives just so they can actually sell some product. But I think it's like with food nowadays as well. People expect more. And I think with people buying online, they had the opportunity to try new things from their house and not go out and spend £200 in a pub. They actually could spend 30, 40 quid on some beers they've never tried before. So now I think expectations might be higher for when people go out. So if people are going to their local pub and get maybe the kind of international breweries, they'll be like, what kind of double IPAs have you got? And there might be a lot of bartenders being like, what is a double IPA? So I think craft beer is going to be pretty big in terms of summer and winter for people that now have a better education of it. I think there's going to be a lot of demand for it. So
I think that's absolutely right. And I think having smaller quantities of beer in a taproom environment is an absolute winner. Like, I mean, the week before we were lamenting a couple of weeks ago, start of March, it was a year to the day since our last trip out down in Edinburgh, and it just so happened to coincide with the opening of Lost and Leith at the campervan tap room, and we were amazed at this menu that they had. But at the back of the menu, they had all of these beers that were sitting waiting to get put on lines, and it was just, these beers will get put on when the stuff that we've got runs out. And I think that's just such a fantastic idea. Like, you've got all these small kegs, small amounts of beer. Well, it's there, when it's gone, and you've got all these other exciting small batch stuff coming along. I think that's a great idea to have.
You'd just be sitting there going, can I buy the rest of that keg so I can get the next one?
Aye. Aye. We hung around for ages waiting for these beers to come on, because we were like, oh, that sounds amazing. You know,
that's killed me in the past when I see that listed. When I see breweries doing that, being like, we've got this queued up, and I'm like, well, I'll just buy the rest of the keg. And they're like, There's about 15 pints in there. Like, all right, cool. Well, there's me, my 14 mates. Well, fine. I just want to taste this black currant weird stout. Just give me some of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Cannot wait. In terms of, we kind of touched on it, the facelift, new rebranding and stuff as well. What have we got to look forward to with that and new beers?
So, yeah, so Rolling Coaster is kind of the first edition that's gone out there. The feedback's been really, really great. So, yeah, we think this guy's going to stick around for a wee while. We'll also see Mandarina and Clydefall. They'll be coming into, like, say, 440. It's getting a wee bit of a rebrand. And, yeah, a new beer to be released in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a new IPA. California style, nice kind of West Coast. So really excited about that as well. I got a wee taste out of the tank today and it's pretty spot on. So that'll be available in the next probably like 2 or 3 weeks.
Sounds awesome. Looking forward to that. Mark, can
I? I was just gonna ask, so obviously the Mandarina and the Cloud are I know the Mandarina you can get supermarket. So are they going to be supermarket 440s moving forward, or are they still going to stick until the stocks run?
Yeah, we'll probably have them like on our website. So Clydefall and Mandarina, they're actually not in supermarkets. A couple of our other ones will be making it into the supermarkets. And then everything will be in 440s probably. I reckon by the start of May, everything will be rolled out. So that'll be our 71 Lager, Rolling Coaster, new IPA, Mandarina, and Clydefall.
Wicked. Can't wait for that. Who does the can art, by the way?
Oh, it's our man, Eric. He's based up in Aberdeen. He's like amazing at Union Creative. Yeah.
He smashes it, by the way.
Yeah, he's got like a really great eye for design. He's like a total pleasure to work with as well.
I think it's one of those things that you recognize a 71 without standing next to you. You walk in a bottle shop wherever and you can see a 71 beer as soon as you walk in, as soon as you glance at the label, you're like, oh, 71, thank you very much.
It's two letters. See the two letters.
Right.
It looks like football managers when they wear the initials on it. That's what it looks like.
Are we acronyms?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I like the two letters. You're like, yep, that's it.
And then it's a really nice balance as well. So the labels, they kind of work out when we do collabs with people as well. So we can put their like logo there. So that's it. Oh, that's something else I should say, actually, just talking about that. Our new, did you guys see that we had brewed a beer for International Women's Craft Brew Day? That was a couple of weeks ago. So our superstar brewer, Taryn, she made us a caramel shortcake imperial stout. And we're actually canning that this week. So it's going to be it's a super limited runny. We've got maybe 200 cans or something. So there will be a couple of bottle shops out there with it and we'll have it on our own site as well. But it's called Hugging a Can.
Caramel shortcake imperial. That sounds shite. That like.
Oh.
It sounds brutal, doesn't it?
Super complex malt bill, so it's like so. Nope. You really get those like kind of like rich caramel biscuity flavors, and then she aged it over a whole bunch of cacao. So yeah, it's so really, really decadent. It is a hug in a can.
I think boys, we need to do the public a favor and buy them all so that nobody else can get them, because that's just not happening.
Tremendous. I mean, if it's anything like any of the other stuff. Well, it should be limited, as you're saying. All the other stuff I've tried, the International Women's Day stuff that I've been fortunate enough to try, has all been absolutely spectacular. And the description there sounds incredible. So,
of course.
I think we're that beer that Victor was mentioning there. We're probably it's going to a couple of bottle shops across the UK, and then we'll have on our site. But I think, in terms of bottle shops on our site, we'll probably be sold in one day. I don't expect to see it longer than that.
Is that thing though with those kind of beers when they're limited? Again, I say it to pretty much every single brewery we have on, that kind of Pokemon mentality, because it's so limited. You're like, fuck, I need to make sure I get it, because I'm never going to see it again. That mentality. Sorry, Mark.
I'm saying I've got to commend it. It's a bit of a ballsy choice for a March sort of brew into April and stuff, isn't it? An imperial caramel.
Well, it's been minus two every morning. So are we still in winter?
The whole theme this year was the theme was compassion, so it was trying to convey that. And then we actually done a poll, so it's a collaboration with Amelie at Beer Without Beards, and so we put it to the whole group with we had a couple actually. We had a peppercorn and plum sour, a triple IPA, and triple, that's what I was going for. And then we had a caramel shortcake, and that was like the Imperial Stout was like the runaway winner. And I'm so glad we went, but it's turned out like really, really well. So
sounds cracking. Make sure you head to 71brewing.com for that, and go to social media as well to get updated. Obviously as well, you guys are available in supermarkets. We've asked a couple of breweries before this question in supermarkets as well. Do you find that balance of having supermarket beers and bringing out your own stuff available to bottle shops and stuff a really hard balance, or is it fairly easy for you guys?
I think we've been working it out really well recently, and that a lot of the supermarket beers they're exclusive, so we're not, the trade has been so important to us this year, as it has to like everybody, so bottle shops, so we've really been focusing on them, making sure they've got access to all our exclusive beers, and really just giving them the heads up on everything that we've got, so that they know they're going to be the only retailers of that beer.
I just ask, what would you say to the people that kind of say, you know, by going into the supermarket, that sort of kind of puts a wee brand, like a negative aspect on your brand, because you're selling into the supermarket. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the quality of the beers that you get in the supermarket are, let's be honest, they're probably not as good as some of the beers that you would get off somebody's web shop or in a bottle shop. How do you kind of fight that?
I think nowadays, I think we've seen over the last year, you're getting supermarkets such as Tesco, which they're really like, you know, you can see some of the breweries that are coming into Tesco now, and you know, you've got like your Cloudwater on the shelves there, you know, you've got like Evil Twin collaborations going in there. So I think they're really starting to up their game and see what people want, and it's pushing towards that kind of, you know, everybody knows we're maybe, you know, like what, 10, 15 years behind the US kind of craft scene, but it's like, it's going that way, isn't it? You can go into a supermarket over there and every big brewery's got it. But I mean, I think it's a way that it's probably been a lifeline to a lot of breweries throughout this whole like pandemic as well. So we can't get away from that, but it also allows you to have that creative streak and to make the kind of beers that the brewers want to make themselves. So I think it's a balance that you've got to tread, I think. And I mean, for us, it's never really been like a big issue. You know, we've always made sure that we've had those like exclusive beers available for the bottle shops. So yeah, what do you boys think about it?
I think the stuff that they're making, that the supermarkets have now, they're waking up to the fact that you've got to store stuff like that properly. You've got to present it properly. It can't be old. And I think the brewers, although we know from having spoken with like the Northern Monk and those kind of things, that the amount of say that they have varies, that the brewer has once the supermarket's got it. It's kind of, they've got it in their clutches kind of thing. But as long as you can make the drinker can tell when the relationship works for both parties, because you can tell it in the beer that's on the shelf, and you get people led into buying stuff for the website or the bottle shop, and it helps people gravitate towards it. Those are the ones that work. Some of the ones that don't are the ones where you get that kind of level off, and or that it's what's available in the web shop or the bottle shop is the same stuff that's in the supermarket, because there isn't any difference. You can tell the relationship works, and you get there's such a variance in comparison to the ones that are in the supermarket that I think it probably, as you're saying, but it does for you guys. Mm-hmm. You can tell that in a brewery.
It helps drive traffic towards you guys as well. You know, if you can pick up a beer and you think, oh, I like that beer. I mean, I've always been an advocate of, if I tried a beer in a supermarket that I didn't particularly enjoy from a brewery that I knew, it wouldn't stop me going back to that brewery. And if I tried a beer in a supermarket that I liked, it would push me towards that brewery, which I really like. I find it difficult to swallow that. I mean, I've been in a fortunate position on the podcast. We get to speak to a lot of breweries and stuff, and it just seems it's such a shame that they get that the breweries are totally getting the thin end of the wedge. When it comes to supermarkets, and you know, you go into some of these places and buy the beers, and they're nice enough. And there's been a couple of times where I've went on to the brewery's website, and the beers that I can get in the supermarket are twice the price on the website. And you think to yourself, how is that even fair? You know, because these guys are obviously pricing the beers on their website because that's what price they need to be in order for them to make money. And you think to yourself, how much of a loss are they on to go on into a supermarket and flog their stuff? And you know, it makes me quite annoyed sometimes. But in terms of the beer, you know, I think you're 100% right, Victoria, that the supermarkets are well and truly stepping up their game. Even in the short time that I've been drinking craft beer, that you can see such a seismic shift and the variety and the choice that you're getting. Things can only get better, really. Hopefully soon supermarkets will start chilling their craft beer.
That's it, isn't it? It's like, I mean, you know, everyone's so particular in keeping that cold chain going, and it's like, when are we going to get to the stage where the beer's like kept in proper coolers? You know, you can go into bars now and, you know, they're keep their beer in like coolers and fridges. Like, when's that going to happen? And to be honest, it's probably not too far away. You know, I mean, it would obviously mean like a whole reshuffle of the booze section over where the juice is in the far corner, but like, you know, we get the fridges in, but like, I don't think it's like too far away if like the supermarkets are serious about it, you know?
Yeah. I know it's something from personal experience, having to dabble in the supermarket working over COVID from necessity, that supermarkets do not store the beer correctly before it goes on the shelf, which as a craft beer lover absolutely infuriated me. And I was like, why the fuck is this not in a fridge?
Get that chicken out onto these shelves or into your dot-com fans.
Get the milk.
Get the beer in there.
Get the milk to fuck. Put the beer in there. Milk says milk's going to sell quicker. Get it to fuck. Who cares? For yourself, for the Perrier, dream collaborations, individual ones, personal ones for yourself that you wish 71 on hope one day 71 will do. Ian, for yourself, you got a dream collab, a brewery you would love to work with?
I think, oddly enough, probably Evil Twin. Oh. It's the... I only got into the beer industry in like the last few years, but when I was in New York, I went across to the Evil Twin bar. They were nice to me. I was a big buyer of their products because I used to run the bars and tap rooms here. And they were really nice, took me around, gave me some samples, tasters and stuff. And they were just cool people. So it'd be nice for an opportunity for 71 to give me loads of money to go across to New York, make a beer there. Couldn't care less Fine. About Evil Twin coming here.
it's going to be an away day. Away. Nice, yeah, Evil Twin away.
Be nice to go up there. I think I fulfilled like my kind of dream collab. It's not kind of one of these crazy international breweries, but the other day I made a beer with Brewton, and they're one of my favorite breweries. They're the people at Brewton are some of the nicest people in the industry. So the fact I was able to see their brewery, make a beer with them, that made me well happy because they are my mates, and we just met through beer festivals and love of craft beer. So Brewton was definitely up there, but international wise, probably Evil Twin in New York.
Brewton are great. Brewton take criticism really well too, which is a great feather.
Yeah, they still talk to me. So that's... Yeah.
Tell them Scott says hi.
Hi, you know, fucking. Hi, they're my pals. But the evil, it's got to be a way, isn't it? You talk to everybody's been cooped up for a million years. Where do you want to go? I want to go away. Evil Twin away.
You should have seen me in Pierhead all day. I was walking down the street, there was music playing, there was birds landing on my shoulders. Like, it was the most beautiful city I've ever been to, or town. Pierhead was lovely.
That is a vision. That is a vision. Vic, for yourself, a dream collaboration?
I think probably, like, one of my all-time, like, favourite breweries of like the past few while is probably like Psycho Brewing over in St. Pete's in Florida. Like their, you know, their IPAs and their stouts. Eric over there is just like fucking unbelievable. When I had his like Citra IPA in Gothenburg a few years ago, I was just totally blown away with it. So anything with those boys would be amazing. And then obviously Bigger Man in Belgium, if he's ever up for doing a wee lambic with us, that'd be grand.
Oh,
we drive from Tainan.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Sign us up for that. That sounds spectacular. Love that. Absolutely love that. Where is the best place for people who don't already know to get their hands on 71 Bruins beers?
I would direct them straight to our website and obviously your local bottle shop. Speak to them if they've got it. Buy it from them. If they've not got it, they can hit us up and we'll send them some out. So yeah.
And then if you're in Dundee, keep your eye out for the beer garden as well.
Absolutely, probably opening our doors sometime mid May-ish, probably. Give us some time to get sorted out, mid late May. So lovely. Keep you posted on that on our socials.
When the weather gets hot consistently, or below or above average, I should say.
This is Dundee. People will drink pints in the snow.
I know. I started saying that sentence and I was like, it's Dundee. It's freezing anytime.
It's Scotland, mate. You've been south for too long.
Ah, shut your hole.
You're used to the actual seasons, Gavin. You don't get them up
I know.
Here.
You get a thing called summer down here. It's glorious. I have got everything that's crossed off on my bit of paper. Is there anything else anyone would like to mention at all?
Yeah, can I have a rebrew request, please?
One, yes, go for it.
One time rebrew request. And this can is I a predict, beer that I tried.
Can I predict what you're going to
go
say?
Go for it. Go for
Baltic
it.
Baltic Porter.
Yes. Can I have a rebrew of Hidden Currents, please?
Hidden Currents.
6% Baltic Porter.
Yes.
Absolutely tremendous. I got it in a supermarket and it's absolutely no place being in a supermarket. It should never have been anywhere near a supermarket. It should have been kept in behind some sort of glass case. In my fridge for starters, but also behind some sort of glass case. It was absolutely stupendous.
That's a really good shout, man. Because like we are thinking about, you know, maybe looking, you know, we've just done like our Life in Motion, like amazing, like black IPA. So we are starting to look down the route of should we do a Baltic Porter? Should we do it like a Schwarz beer? So yeah, you might be in luck, man. Yeah,
tremendous. Scott, I do remember the day that the Hidden Currents was getting canned, and I went across to the can line, done what I usually do, crack one open, start drinking it, and I was like, this is banging, like what? What's this all about? And it was like, oh, it's going out to one of the supermarkets. And I was like, how? How is it supermarket? How? Why are you keeping it here?
No, it's safe to say it didn't last long. There wasn't many people got a can of it in our neck of the woods anyway. It was gone within seconds. And
I think I kept 8 cases for our website and that was it. The rest of it went to supermarket. Yeah, that was honestly a great beer.
Tremendous beer. To see that back would be incredible. It's a porter. A porter drinker or dark beers drinker's version of a porter. It's absolutely perfect. There's no messing. It just tastes absolutely superb.
Even the price point on it as well was really good.
Aye. Yep. Aye. I'm just annoyed there was only one.
I've got one in my bedroom that might be about 2 years out of date. I could probably send you.
It would be worth it at this point.
What's that? Under bed aged beer.
It's absolutely fine. It was that good.
Okay. Nice. Enough, fair enough. Fair enough. Sounds fantastic.
Is there any collabs that you guys think we should be doing?
Oh, that's a good question.
Hi, what do you think?
Beer Fridge Podcast.
Beer Fridge Brewing.
This is my next shout I'll keep asking people I want a coconut curried whip beer.
All right.
No, don't need to humour that shit.
Don't humour them.
How?
Exactly.
You could definitely do something around like Thai spices. And Uncle like Ben's. Thai basil, Thai like
lemongrass,
kaffir lime, lemongrass, coriander. There you go, man.
Some chicken and rice in there, and you're a winner.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll end, you end up creating liquid Bombay mix. It's
we'll bring back that staff member and he can make that with you.
There you go. Yeah. You can sell it, you can get a line in it. That, what's the, is it Kismet? The restaurant in Edinburgh that sells
the mega hot curry.
For the mega hot curries, there you go. That's the place to get the line in for your super chili beer or your curry beer.
Yeah. But to be fair, Mark, since your first idea was the Battenberg beer, which somebody ended up making, so I applaud you for trying to come up with another idea, but just stop it.
No, well, he's all made fun of me about the Battenberg beer, and I asked about 50 breweries and finally managed to get somebody to do it. So somebody will think, Mark, you know what, you're on a bit of a winner there, son.
I don't think you're far off with it, man. I think it's definitely workable.
Yeah. Send me an email with the name of the beer and what you would like in it, and I'll pass it on to one of our dirty hipster employees called Callum, because I'm sure he would love to make that beer.
Well, I'm surprised, Mark, you've not tried, or Cal, or either one of you have tried to make it in your kit yet.
Like, to be fair, we're just trying to get the basics down so far.
As I'm saying, I was saying that to Rabbit Hybrid earlier, I might just start throwing, like you say, your Uncle Ben's in and just make like a sushi rolled, like funky root beer from here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
go for it, man.
And just see what absolute disaster comes out of it.
Just make a
broth. I'm not digging out that mash fucking tun.
just sounds like a broth for something. No, no.
At the end of the day, it's hard to break the mold in beer right now. You know, like craft beer, the industry is like absolutely on fire. Like, and we've got these set styles, haven't we? If it's your lagers, pilsners, pales, all the way up to your imperial stouts. And I think the consumer these days, yes, like we all want a really good lager. We all want a really good, I want a really good double IPA. The pale ale underneath it, and then I'll jump between a stout, like a mix and match. But there is a time and a place for an absolute ridiculously over the top right field style of beer. And yes, it's going to be like an adaptation of a style, if it's a whip beer, if it's a lambic, where, you know, or if it's whatever it is. That's the only way, and like you say, the boundaries have been pushed so far because of lockdown, and all these like creative geniuses in the breweries have just went, you know what, fuck it, let's throw some in and let's see what comes out of it. And let's be honest, sometimes it turns into a chili beer that burns the hole of you, and you only sell it to, you don't even able to sell it. But it's, I don't know, I'm up for trying any beer like once. And if it's awesome, then we go back to it. And if it's an absolute disaster, then you have a laugh and a giggle about it and you move on for there. So,
Mark, you should be in the meeting.
I was going to say that creative genius has got to be based on a foundation of being able to make decent beer. And I think we're kind of far behind that sort of train at the minute.
Don't bash them too far, Callum. Fucking hell, son.
Well, we're dipping our toe in. We've done half a dozen brews and we're dipping our toe in and we're getting there. But watch this space. 2022 beer fridge brewing is going to explode everywhere.
Literally explode.
Mark, if you were in the meeting that we had when we first bought that pilot kit, we were so excited about making all these different beers and recipes. And we genuinely had a meeting and like listed off about 50 different beers, and the resounding, it was just resounding from that room, was like, nah, 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 like nothing. Like, I think we chose like 4 out of the 50 beers that were mentioned, because at that point as well, we love our beers, we love other people's beers, but it's like, yeah, let's make something with like, I don't know, crystals that have been dug out of like a well in India with otter tears, and then we'll put like a wee bit of peppercorn in there. It'll be great. It's like, how? It's like, all right, okay. We'll just try like a double IPA. We were so adventurous, and it's like, some of it was ridiculous.
It's not possible anymore, though, you know, to do this. Like, there's a way to work out how to do things now, you know, and like, you know, obviously there's a lot of, you know, breweries who, you know, they'll add something, or, you know, they'll add this or add that. But there is a way to, like, to make it work, you know, using, like, the natural ingredient, which I think that's probably, like, the most, like, fun part of doing things. But
like cream eggs and Yorkshire puddings and that.
Oh, what? Have any of you got that cream egg beer?
No, because we've got a brain.
No. And thankfully, all my family members that did decide to buy me Easter eggs decided to steer well clear of the cream egg beer, thankfully.
Thank God for
that. I seen on a group forum recently where the guy was drinking layer cake out of an Easter egg, the Brewdog beer.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
Became I became a fad on Instagram for a bit. There was a few people pouring good dark beers into Easter eggs.
Stupid.
I was waiting on an outtake of somebody pouring it in and it pushing out the bottom.
Pushing straight through it.
Tia, head on it instantly by all the fat and stuff, right?
Yeah, horrible. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, Vic, I do have one who I think might be interesting. I think the guys might agree with me. Going off the can art. Tapestry.
Yeah, that could be a good one.
Tapestry based in Bristol, same kind of funky can art. I reckon that'd be pretty cool.
Oh,
there's my 5p.
Oh, nice one. That sounds cool.
That's my 5p worth, and that's probably the kind of the most you can get of me generally. To be fair.
That's cool.
Yeah, agreed.
I was going to say, cheers with backup, boys.
No.
You're absolutely welcome, mate. You've priced yourself correctly there, Gavin.
Prick. anything else anyone wants to add at all, and I'll wrap this up.
Go for it.
I think just on Mark's point earlier on, and I don't know how he feels about this visual treat that I'm going to give him, but this is a can of 440, and this is what he was asking for.
Oh,
see there it is.
I'm sorry.
Would you really drink a sour like this?
I would murder a sour like that, mate. That is the absolute dream. I'm sorry. I don't know. The boys make fun of me all the time for that because I've asked everybody this year because I'm like, a 4.4, a 3.30 is still too much for a sour. I want, what is that? Like a 1.25 or something?
1.50.
Does that not give you nightmares for when you used to work at Woolies, Mark? No.
Oh, a wee bit, actually. I remember, like, you
can hold a band of us.
You had to stack.
We need to sell them at 3 for a pound as well.
Mark was 16. The pick and mix security man at the local Woolworths guy was. He actually worked there allegedly. He was there to refill the pick and mix. The only person to reduce the number of cola bottles on offer by refilling the bag.
That would
give me nightmares having to deal with the cans. But I get what you mean, Mark. Some of them would be super good to have in that size, but I prefer a 440.
I remember the breweries in Europe were doing like 330 stick burgers from Sweden, and like the slim cans of 330s. They'd done that for a while. That was cool. I liked that because it didn't seem like you were drinking a 12% stout in a big can, even though you're drinking out of one of these.
Yeah.
It's easier to drink.
I think it takes you back to like when we were in like Germany and that, you know, when you got a wee schooner or a wee, like, and it was just like a wee dimply wee thing, and it just, you had it smashed in like 2 seconds, and then you made your way around the beer mat, tick, 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 until the guy was like, right,
you fell over.
You need to pay now.
No. That's a good thing about Europe as well. They do 200s and 400s. Yeah. I think that's a good thing that the UK should adopt as well at some point.
Definitely. 20 centiliters are brilliant. Yeah.
There you go. See, there's another idea for the beer garden. Banging them out, boys. Bang, bang, bang. Back and smashing it. As always, thank you guys for joining us. Make sure you head to beer. What the fuck am I talking about? 71brewing.com, and you can get hold of the beers or go and check out your local bottle shops. Good bottle shops. And if they're not selling it, give them a shout, give them a kick up the arse, and get them selling 71 Brewing beer. 71brewing.com. And make sure you head over to their Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter page as well. Just search 71 Brewing. The Beer Fridge podcast is, as always, sponsored by This Week in Craft.beer. Hit This Week in Craft.beer, get the new beers list and all the news from your latest breweries and your favourite ones as well. And we're powered by Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheBeerFridge podcast. Get exclusive content. and get much, much more. You may get some samples of the homebrew from the guys as well. Patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. This has been an absolute pleasure to have you both on. Thoroughly looking forward to coming up Dundee and getting it ourselves in that beer garden and finding some nuggets of gold. Fingers crossed.
From the tap.
Absolutely. Let's work out this this curry beer and then we'll definitely get you up on the pilot kit. Yeah.
Vic, stop it. Stop it.
Don't encourage him, Christ.
Thanks once again, and until next time, goodbye.
Thanks for having us, guys. That was awesome.